What about Christmas? These are in logical sequence, aren't they? Jeremiah chapter 10. Now, Dr. Bill Rice and all them fellows have written all their nice little books to remind us that the tree in Jeremiah 10 is not a Christmas tree. To which I say, well, who in the world didn't know that? Since Christ hadn't been born, there wasn't any Christ to have a Christmas tree for. We all knew that the tree in Jeremiah 10 wasn't a Christmas tree. But there is a principle involved in the tree in Jeremiah 10 that is also involved in the Christmas tree. Let's read Jeremiah 10, 1. Hear ye the word which the Lord speaketh unto you, O house of Israel. Thus saith the Lord, learn not the way of the heathen, and be not dismayed at the signs of heaven, for the heathen are dismayed at them. For the customs of the people are vain. For one cutteth a tree out of the forest, the work of the hands of the workman with the axe. They deck it with silver, with gold. They fasten it with nails and with hammers. They move it not. They are upright as the palm tree, but speak not. They must needs be born, because they cannot go. Be not afraid of them, for they cannot do evil, neither also is it in them to do good. For as much as there is none like unto thee, O Lord, thou art great, and thy name is great in might. Now, everybody ought to understand that God is rebuking Israel for making idols. God is in heaven, and God is not made with man's hands. But here Israel is going into the forest, taking an axe, cutting a tree down, making a totem out of it, or some kind of an image out of it, and then plating it with silver and gold, and then bowing down to it. They worship the tree. Now, the Christmas tree, that Baal bush you got in your living room, December the 25th on Baal's birthday, that thing, you cut it down out of the forest, you make it upright, that's what they do in the passage, they cut it down, they take a hammer, they make it upright, it moves not, and you adorn it with silver and gold, tinsel and balls and all that stuff. You say, yeah, but preacher, we don't worship it. Oh yeah? What's worship? Worship, according to the dictionary, is adoration or praise. You know what you do when you fix your Christmas tree? You get it all fixed up, and you get all the tinsel on it, and you spray all the stuff on it, and the lights are twinkling, and you turn out the big light in the room so you can see the little lights come on, or maybe you got the ones that articulate around, you know, and you get all the kids, and everybody holds hands, and everybody gets warm and gushy feeling, they say, isn't it beautiful? That's the prettiest Christmas tree I ever saw. Oh, Mom, it's just beautiful. Adoration. Praise. Esteem. They worship the tree. They bow in their heart to the tree. Now, you say, well, what about Christmas altogether? Well, Christmas altogether is all wrong. It's probably the last Wednesday night I see some of y'all, but Christmas is wrong anyway. The reason Christmas is wrong is in the book of Acts, there's 30 to 35 years of church history in the book of Acts. And not one time anywhere does anybody ever celebrate the birthday of Jesus Christ. Now, don't you think if it was appropriate to celebrate the birth of the Savior, those spirit-filled men in the book of Acts would have done it? But there ain't nobody in the New Testament celebrates the birthday of Jesus Christ. Not nobody. Now, the next thing that's wrong with it is that, one, they venerate the wrong day. They say, December the 25th, Christ's birthday. That's nonsense. If Jesus Christ was born in December, I was born in May. My birthday is November the 29th. Don't worry about buying me presents, send cash. Now, let me show you. Now, listen. You say, well, preacher, that's just your opinion. No, that's not my opinion. I'm going to show you from the Bible that Jesus Christ was not born in December. And if you wait till December the 25th to celebrate Christmas, you're at least 3 months out of whack. Jesus Christ was born in September or October at the very latest. There's not any possibility on this planet that he was born in December. You say, well, then why do they have December? Because a Roman emperor trying to save a kingdom from falling apart on him decided the way to do that was to weld Christianity and paganism together. In 313 A.D., Emperor Constantine was going to war, and he saw a vision in the sky, and he saw three X's. Hex, hex, hex. And he said, and he saw under those three letters, under this banner, conquer. And so he adopted Christianity. Now, he wasn't a Christian, and he never became a Christian. Constantine waited until the day before he died to be baptized. But when he saw the vision, he declared Christianity the formal Roman religion. He made it the state religion. And of course, all the pagans rebelled about it. So what they did is they mixed pagan holidays and Christian holidays to appease both sides, to keep them from fighting. The idea was that he wanted unity in his country, in his nation, and the way to do that was to get one religion rather than two that were going to knock each other's brains out. Pagan Rome had a thing called the Circus Maximus. The Circus Maximus is celebrated at the winter solstice, December the 23rd, the 24th, and the 25th. And so they adopted that season because it was already nationally known holiday, a great day of festival and a good time. And so they adopted the winter solstice as the to celebrate the birthday of Christ, so that the Christians and the pagans would celebrate together. Now, your Bible asks you a rhetorical question in 1 Corinthians. It says, "What concord hath Christ with Baal? What concord hath light with darkness? Wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate, touch not the unclean things, saith the Lord, and I will be your God." There's no place where it's right or proper to mix paganism and Christianity. It's just wrong. It's an abomination. Now, let me give you two examples from the New Testament, from the Bible, where it's impossible for it to be December the 25th. In Luke chapter 1 and verse 5, Zechariah is going up to the temple to serve there, and it's his time to go as the priest. When he goes up there, he has to serve for a week. Then, as the priest, and then the second week he's there is the week of the Passover. Now, here's how that thing went. In 1 Chronicles chapter 24, verse 7 through 19, there are 24 courses of the priest named. Each course is 1 week. Each priest goes to the temple, serves 1 week at a time, twice a year. There are 52 weeks in a year. There are 24 courses. That makes 48 weeks, which leaves the remainder where all the priests serve on those extra days. All priests serve together three times a year for 1 week at a time, at the Feast of the Passover, at the Feast of Pentecost, and at the Feast of Tabernacles. Now, the first course listed is the course of Niacin, 2 Chronicles 27, 1 and 2. Abiah, which is John the Baptist's father, which is Zechariah's course, was the eighth course in order listed in 1 Chronicles 24:10. Zacharias has to stay the week after his service, because the next week after his course is the Passover week. So he goes up for his normal course of a week, then he stays the second week because it's Passover week, and all the priests are there that week. Then he goes home after that week, after the Passover, and when he goes home, in Luke chapter 1, verse 23 and 24, Elizabeth, his wife, conceives and becomes pregnant. Now, according to the Gospel of John and Luke 26, chapter 1, verse 26 and 36, Jesus Christ is 6 months younger than John the Baptist. Remember, Elizabeth has John the Baptist, and Mary goes up to see her, being great with child. There's 6 months difference between the birth of John the Baptist and the birth of Jesus Christ. Now, when Zechariah goes up in the course of Abiah to serve his week, what time of the year is it? It's It's called IR, the 27th, to Savan the 5th, or June the 1st to June the 8th. So he goes up to the temple to serve in the month of June. When he goes home, Elizabeth conceives, and 9 months later, John the Baptist is born. What month is John the Baptist born? Nine months from June. March. Now, 6 months to that. September. If Zechariah goes up in the course that the Bible says he did, of course he did, and goes home, and Elizabeth conceives and carries full term, 9 months later John the Baptist is born, that's going to be somewhere in the month of March. Let's say maybe a few days pass, so maybe it's the 1st of April. But the end of March, 1st of April, John the Baptist is born. 6 months later, Jesus Christ is born. From the middle of September to the first part of October, but not later than the middle of October. There's no way in this world Jesus Christ could have been born in December. So when you celebrate Christmas and put up the mistletoe and the holly and all that stuff, you are participating in a pagan holiday that was celebrated by the Druids 1,500 years before Jesus Christ was born. Now, people say, well, preacher, they've always celebrated Christmas. That's not so. There's no mention of Christmas anywhere in secular history until the 4th century. That is, over 300 years passed before anybody celebrates Christmas. Let me read you an article from Encyclopedia Britannica, page 643, under Christmas. The exact date and year of Christ's birth have never been satisfactorily settled. But when the fathers of the church in A.D. 440 decided upon a date to celebrate the event, they wisely chose the day of the winter solstice, which was firmly fixed in the minds of the people, and which was their most important festival. Now, that's not a religious commentary. That's not some preacher saying that. That's the Encyclopedia Britannica, 1958 edition, page 643, says that when the church fathers, 400 years after the death of Jesus Christ, decided to celebrate Christmas, they wisely chose the winter solstice, a pagan holiday. Why? Because it was already firmly entrenched in the minds of the people. That is, it was a pagan holiday from the beginning, it is a pagan holiday today, and Christians have no business whatsoever participating in Christmas. Amen? Amen. Now, some of y'all don't like it, don't get mad at me. The first mention of Christmas on December the 25th is from the year 354 A.D., which was a Friday. England forbid the practice of Christmas in 1644. St. Nicholas was invented in the 3rd century A.D. Let me see, I have an article here someplace. Where is that thing? Not long ago, church fathers wanted to keep Christmas out of the church. They considered it sacrilegious. An article in the New York Times on December the 26th, 1855, reports that the churches of the Presbyterians, the Baptists, and the Methodists were not open. They do not accept the day as a holy one, but the Episcopal Church, the Catholic Church, and the German churches were all open and decked with evergreen. That is, for years and years and years in the United States of America, Baptists and Presbyterians didn't celebrate Christmas. They thought it was sacrilegious. It is sacrilegious. So, well, preacher, I practice it anyway. Well, help yourself. I don't care. You're going to hurt my feelings. I went over to somebody's house last year at Christmas. Had a big old Christmas tree sitting there. I ain't upset me none. I didn't have one. Anything you can answer to God for, help yourself. Amen. You want Santa Claus? Help yourself. It's free country. Say, well, won't you be mad or look down? I care less. I'm telling you what the truth is. The truth is that Christmas is a pagan holiday. Now, what you do, it's between you and God Almighty. Amen? If you invite me over your house Christmas Eve and you got a big old tree sitting there and you got homemade cookies, I'll eat till I can't hardly walk. Ain't bother me. It's your conscience. I'm telling you what the truth is about the holiday. Then you pray about it and you do whatever you think is right. Amen? It's a free country. You got liberty. But it ain't right. Question number 3.